Magical Mara Designs is proud to sponsor this episode of the WDW Review Podcast. Whether you are looking for cute, comfortable mini ears or Disney-inspired face masks, we've got you covered at MagicalMaraDesigns.com.
Hello, welcome to the WDW Review. I'm your host, Chris Malik, and I'm joined by the entire crew today. Stacy Nyman, Peter Ponocorvo, Michael Black. How is everybody?
Good.
I'm well.
Good. Good. You guys didn't dress. I see me and Michael, we called each other. We yeah, donned the red. Well, yeah.
We coordinated.
We coordinated.
We have the ears.
You do have the ears. And Peter's not doing anything at all. So, all right, good. Let's move along clearly. Give me something good in your life, Stacy. You got something good today? I know you do.
I do. Today is Griffin's. We coined the term heart-iversary. So we just so grateful. He had, this is a long story. I will not go into all of it, but he had open heart surgery 9 years ago today when he was 4 years old, mm-hmm. and it was successful and it corrected the problem. And so every year on this date, we do a little heart-iversary for him. And now that he's a teenager, pretty much that means, and we're in a pandemic, pretty much that means we ordered food and everybody just kind of ate in wherever they wanted to. No, we didn't spend time together or anything. So it was just special in that way, I guess. But normally we'd go out to dinner as a family. So
I remember seeing pictures at Uncle Julio's. Right?
Yes. See? And I think that's what he wants to do again sometime because he loves that chocolate pinata. But it wasn't in the cards this year. So we had Chili's was his suggestion this year. So
nothing wrong with Chili's.
No.
Yeah, Chili's but
Chili's are the best.
You compare them, they're nowhere close to each other.
No.
Can I ask you a couple follow-up questions about the operation and everything?
Yeah, absolutely.
Will he ever have like any issues with that in life? Does he have to go back for like a
revision?
Yeah.
Hopefully exactly. Not. Hopefully his repair is good, but there is a chance that it can kind of happen again.
Okay.
But the good news is that he didn't have to have any sort of skin graft or like a plastic material put in. If that were the case, that might be more of a problem. He might have to have a revision in the future, but they were able to just reconstruct it with the tissue that was already there, which was very lucky.
Yeah.
Because when we went into it, we were going into it knowing that he was going to probably have skin grafts and things, but it worked out perfectly. So he will, his only restriction at this point is that he can't do any like major weightlifting, meaning like competition style. So he's not supposed to lift more than his own body weight. But otherwise he could do everything else. And he'll probably need blood pressure medications at some point. Cause what his problem was, it was called the coarctation of his aorta.
Okay.
And that means that it was very narrowed and kinked in some places. So when the blood was trying to go through it, it was having a really hard time, which then shot his blood pressure through the roof. So they just needed to fix those openings in it. And usually it's caught in utero when the mom is pregnant, and didn't see it, didn't notice it. He had no problems until he was 4 at a routine medical checkup, and they caught it there. And at the hospital, we must have been asked 100 times by residents, by like people would just come in because it's a teaching hospital too. They would just come in and just ask us the same questions over and over again because it was such a weird situation that he had no issues. They're like, you didn't notice anything? There was nothing that you saw? And we're like, no, he was a perfectly normal kid. He was small for his age, but otherwise he was fine. So had he not had that surgery though, which I believe was just, it came into be in like the 1970s, he wouldn't have lived past 12 years old. Wow. So just being so thankful to have science and medical help like we do. I mean, it's 70s weren't so long ago, you know, for that. So we're just very grateful that he's with us and that he's healthy. So
I could only imagine like the tension and like the anxiety that built in you from the moment you heard the diagnosis to like having, oh my gosh.
It was crazy because we found out December 28th or something like that. And then his surgery was January 17th. So it was once we knew, because it was, we had to figure out what it was first. We were going for kidney tests. We were going for all these different things. And the funny thing is the doctor said, you're lucky that it's the heart. You're lucky it's not the kidneys and not these other things we thought it was. So it was a big turnaround. And yeah, it was a dark time. Wow. But Griffin was a total trooper. He took medication that would have like made a grown man cry. Like just the tasted horrible. And he, for some reason, did it. Like no problems. He's just such a good kid. Wow. So had it been one of my other kids, we would have had a big issue. But
throwing all the other kids under the bus. Yeah. All right. Before we go to Michael and Peter, we're live in Edcot, and so everyone that's coming up right now, you feel free to ask us questions as we record the show and as we have the show. I do have a number of people that have come up as Facebook users, so I can see Kevin Curtis Allen, Jamie Price, Matt Pipser. I'm going to put you on the screen here for a second. That sure is a hideous sweater. So full out disclosure, I've got a Buccaneer sweatshirt on. Matt's from Louisiana, and he's a Saints fan. And actually, I'm a Saints fan too, but today they're pairing off, and yeah, I'm sure Matt's at the edge of his seat right now. So, but feel free, register please with StreamYard, register, and you'll get your name there because it shows up as Facebook user. So, anyways, I'm sorry. Peter, something good, buddy.
I know I told you guys about it. I put in for a department transfer at work, and Friday I found out I'm kind of going on to the next phase of possibly getting that department transfer. So I got some homework to do this weekend, but fingers crossed everything works out and I move on to quality assurance.
Nice.
And of course you have homework, so that's why you're recording with us.
Yeah. Well, I had all weekend to do it, and it's due on Wednesday on my day off. So
okay,
plenty of time.
I still got time.
If there's nothing that Edcot doesn't know how to do, it's figure out how to go and rearrange priorities to yeah, exactly. So we're good. Michael, good. What do you got, brother?
Today we went to the Lakeland Antique Mall again, and it's kind of our new favorite pastime. We go in there, we get lost for a couple hours. We took the boys this time. And it's amazing. I only get my blood boiling at one point.
Okay.
And I'll tell you where that is. It's back with the Disney stuff. And when I go back there, the reason my blood boils is that I go to thrift stores here and I see a painting for $8.50. Then I go to this antique store where they have just gone to said thrift store and bought six of these paintings for $8.50, and they are now $75.
Gotcha. Okay.
It's called capitalism.
That gets my blood boiling, but then I just I just keep walking and am just happy that I bought the $8.50 version last week and I don't have to worry about their $75 one. But other than that, it's so much fun to walk around this place. It's like huge. You just walk and walk and walk. And the good thing is that I took you all with me. There'll be a video on the DubDW YouTube.
Awesome.
I've got it already. Gonna be putting that out there. We'll see.
Boy, if there only wasn't like a few guys that would have the mindset to go in and buy all the stuff from the thrift stores and then do a resale upgrade at the Lakeland Antique Mall, right?
I know.
Right?
They have already done it. Trust me.
I got you. Okay.
We might be able to put it in a little gift shop over at the Malik Vacation Club.
The traffic flow is really slow there. Trust me. It's not, the traffic flow is not what you think it is. I promise.
And trust me, he's got the world's slowest gate. Yeah. So if people are coming in there, it would take forever to get in and out.
There you go. So that's what we're here to do today. So Pete, thank you for the great tie-in. So that's what we're here to do today.
No problem. Why I'm
here. Right? It was like you teed it up for me. So here's a story. We've talked about this in the Patreon group because, frankly, I was a little concerned about talking about it just as a regular dub show. A, because I wasn't sure if it was all that interesting to the general people. Or B, if honestly it's you know, something that people really were curious about. But just to get everyone up to speed, the Malik family, we went and actually sold half of our Disney Vacation Club membership, and we purchased a permanent place in Florida to use as an investment and as a vacation place. Since I put that out there, like, I've had a bunch of questions be asked through direct message and whatnot. So we can do this in a number of ways. I can keep on firing answers back off direct message, or we can just talk about it on the show. So we figured it's a great time to talk about it on the show. Hopefully this is interesting to you guys if you've ever debated buying a home in Florida, because I've got Michael who lives there, I've got Peter who lives there, and I kind of do so far a little bit, and
Stacy could live there, visit at all.
But if you got any questions on things, you know, please feel free to ask me. If you got questions on how to start, on real estate agents, on financing, on the move, on you know, neighborhoods, we had a bunch of great questions be posed in the EDCOT group. So we figured we'd go through them and we'd rifle through them. But and at the end, if I haven't given all the answers, please comment. But to make a long story short, I purchased a place in Lakeland. So people are like, I have heard of Lakeland. I'm not sure where it's at, though. Lakeland and Tampa.
35-40 minutes from Disney property.
100%. 38 minutes from my front door to me opening the door in the Disney Springs parking garage. So it's 38 minutes. It's pretty much equidistant between Walt Disney World and Tampa Bay. So it sits right in the middle. It was actually founded as a railroad town, as a hub, and then it exploded from there. So it has an airport that doesn't have yet a passenger airline flying through it. But it is the nation's busiest airport for 1 week of the year when they have the Lakeland Air Show. They actually, you know, like a bunch of people bring their, you know, their crazy planes, and it's the busiest airport in the United States for that 1 week, which is crazy when you think about how busy like Atlanta Hartsfield is and like Dulles and whatnot and O'Hare. But they are trying to attract a commercial carrier into Lakeland. It's got hospitals. It's got, gosh, it's got like 5 universities. One of the universities actually has the largest combination of Frank Lloyd Wright architecture, the biggest gathering of it in the United States. So it's pretty cool. It's got a full downtown area. It's way bigger than you think. As a matter of fact, it's bigger than the city of Springfield, Illinois, Pete. And within like...
I know.
If you check out like the Lakeland site, within like a 30-minute drive, there's more people in that area, and that includes like Auburndale and whatnot and Plant City, than there is in a lot of metropolitan areas. So they're trying to go in and actually, you know, say, well, hey, we deserve a commercial carrier. Well, they realize it's exploding. So yeah, it's getting bigger. So it's one of the questions, but that was just the quick and easy. This was not the first purchase, though. I don't know if you guys know this story, but I don't know if everyone else. So we went through this process, and the reason why we started this process, actually, was basically the interest rates were really low, and we thought it would be a really good time to go invest in real estate. Do you guys know what you guys are making in your bank accounts right now as far as your interest rate in your checking account right now? Any idea?
Zero.
Yeah, it's 0.0.
I have a non-interest-bearing checking account, my friend.
All of us do. Even the one that we put money in, we had this American Express one that was going to pay us 1%. We were like, 1%? It's down to like 0.5% now. You don't make any money on any of the money, you know, that you have in your savings account. And for the first half of 2020, any money you had in a retirement account or in any kind of stock just got obliterated. It just got crushed. So the only thing that held consistent was real estate. And the Florida real estate market has always been strong. Everyone wants to move to Florida. So it's always been strong. So we started off looking. We thought this would be a good investment for the family and a good way to vacation. And I could bring the dogs in vacation. So we bought a place in Haines City. Michael, Haines City is, Peter, where is it? It's on 27, right?
It's right it's basically the next town south of Davenport where I live and where Michael lives.
We bought it on a golf course. And it wasn't like, I don't want to be on a golf course after being on, you know, my job. Like, I'm okay without being on golf courses, but it just so happened to be there. The restriction was I wanted 3 bedrooms. I wanted 2 bathrooms. I wanted a place that would take 3 dogs and they would have a garage space. 3 bedrooms, easy to find. 2 bathrooms, easy to find. Garage space, kind of tricky.
Not super, super hard, but there's a lot of carports in Florida.
Yeah, exactly. Covered areas. Finding a place that would take 3 dogs is impossible because a lot of the people that buy in Orlando, Davenport, Kissimmee, the Four Corners area right around there, they're vacationers. So they're like, okay, well, if you're going to spend time here just a few weeks a year, we want to make sure you're responsible. And sometimes dog owners and responsibility don't go hand in hand, you know? So they're like, okay, 2 dogs. And the dogs have to be 15 pounds. And it was like, what? There's not even a dog. Yeah, those are hamsters. I don't got hamsters. Gerbils. Yeah, gerbils. So I had to find a place that took 3 dogs. That was the hang up. It was the hang up in the whole sale. So we found this place on a golf course called Southern Dunes that met all the qualifications, and it was relatively inexpensive. It was a great deal. We refinanced the house here in Chicago. Yeah, until you hear the story. We decided to refinance here because if you refinance your primary mortgage, you can refinance it and get a good, really an interest rate. But if you do a second, like a second mortgage on a home, that interest rate for your second mortgage is always higher than your primary because that's the first one you're going to default on is your non-required mortgage, obviously. So we bought a place and we were super excited. 3 bedrooms, 2 baths, a view that you could not believe. And we go and have the home inspection, and the home inspector within the first like 5 minutes calls me up and he goes, Chris, you've got a problem. And so he took a picture of the air duct. And
oh, you mean the one that Christina warned you about?
Yes. But she warned me. And I'll give you the point of this one too. So she warned us about this. And she said it smelled just a little damp. There was a mold infestation throughout the entire ductwork of the house. And if you see pictures, it wasn't like, huh, there's a little black mold right there in the corner. It was like covered, like just like inundated with mold. Well, it also happened to have carpeting everywhere. So the mold for sure got into the carpeting. It was also drywall. So the mold for sure got into the drywall. So like my anxiety like went from like 0 to like 60, like bam, overnight. I was doing anything I could to get out of the deal. I was like, kill it. I'll give you my earnest money. I'm out. I can't handle this, you know? Because think about like whenever you're down there, you get a little cough or you're like, you know? You would never relax in that house. So we were out. And then we kept on looking, and it's hard to find 3 bedrooms and the garage and the bathrooms and the dogs. Well, we ended up in Lakeland, and we saw this house, and it didn't quite catch us at first. Like, from the street, you only see the garage and the entryway for the door. So, like, in terms of curb appeal, it's not strong. It just happens to have everything else I need. It has a bedroom on the first floor. It has an area, a yard for the dogs. It has 2 bedrooms in the second floor. It has everything I need in a 2-car garage. And we overlooked it at first because it's kind of dark. Like the front entryway, the door is solid, you know, instead of having a glass.
Yeah.
So we overlooked it. We were like, it's kind of dark. Well, we came back to it and was like, you know what? That kind of meets all of our needs. So we were able to go and purchase that place. I will give credit because I never saw the house before I purchased it. I never looked into it. And in Florida, here's the deal. You can't. You cannot. You don't have time for that reaction. So I know you're like, wait a minute. I'm never going to buy a house. It's true. If you're trying to buy in this economy right now in Florida, you don't have time for it. The house has hit the market. And how long would you guesstimate? Michael, you were there. How long would you guesstimate until it was off the market? It was.
Yeah. And when I was in real estate, it was nothing. It would go like that. You'd have offers. You'd have 5-6 offers first day.
It's like 2 or 3 days. So if you have to have an idea. So that's the first thing is you've got to know what you're looking for. And if it hits the market, you have to be proactive. If you think, well, it's kind of nice. I'll get a flight down there next weekend and I'll take a drive around and look. It'll never be there. So it's like anxiety, and it's a contentious procedure. I mean, you got to be committed to getting this done. So we ended up putting the offer in, and it was accepted, and we're good.
You notice, Michael, he had two people that could have taken him on a video tour of that house the same day, and he didn't utilize either one of us.
Oh, he did.
Yeah, Michael was. Yeah, I sent Michael down. Okay. I sent Michael down.
I see how it is.
Yeah, I sent Michael down there. Well, and here's why. Michael works right there.
Yeah, I work at the next exit. Is one of my stores, so that's why I go and check on it.
I hit him up. I said, Michael, do you know where this house is located? He goes, yeah, I'm passing by. I was like, really? Okay, so let me just redirect you here one day. So yeah, that's exactly why. So I never saw it. Michael took video for me, and the thing was, does it look like there's a problem? No, good. Okay, bam, let's go and buy it. So we put the contract in, it was accepted. Ugh, there we go. There's a long, you know, drawn out story of how this came to be. Now, you want to start with the first question here, Stacy? Have I gone and given the backstory enough here, I guess? Okay. Uh-oh.
I had to mute because we had some noise in our background, so... All right, so I'm going to kind of skip over some of the questions unless you wanted me to tackle all those.
Oh, no, those are your questions, Stace.
My questions. They were your questions. Okay, well, I definitely will tackle. Okay, my first question was, let me make sure that there wasn't anything else up here. Okay, do you prefer Basset Hounds, or are you just partial to hounds in general? Because let me just say, that was his the biggest mistake with this question was he said ask me anything. I mean there were no qualifications on what we were asking him. He said ask me anything. He talked about his dog, so I was like curious. I know that he has two Basset Hounds and then a Beagle mix, I think.
And she sees a big Basset Hound butt in the picture right there.
Yes, and I have to say that a Basset Hound is one of my dream dogs. So I, of course, needed to ask about that. So do you prefer Basset Hounds, or are you just partial to hounds in general?
We promise people this will get back to the house soon enough. But
there's a few questions, though, first. Correct. Go on.
I think a lot of people that actually adopt a dog tend to actually kind of grow into that, like that dog breed. So we've always had Basset Hounds. One just found his way to us right now, but he's not a Basset. But yeah,
yeah,
team Basset Hound.
They're the best.
So, but I'm team rescue first off and foremost, Stacey. I'm team rescue.
Yes, we are too. We are as well. Yeah. Do you want me just to continue with my questions?
You got more good ones, Stacey? You want to go on to All right. Let's go to the real ones. Let's go to the real questions.
Okay.
Here we go.
Do you want me to... I'll ask the first real one, and then we'll kind of go around, because I need some attention here. So the first real question is, are there fire ants in Florida?
Oh, that's a real question. That comes from Jamie Price.
That's probably not the real question, but let's go with it anyway.
and here's the truth. I guess I've learned this from the Callahans. Anywhere in the South, there are fire ants. And the reason why I know this was I was taking the dogs out one day in my flip-flops, and I realized my foot was on fire, and I looked down, and there must have been, maybe it was 2.5 seconds. I might have had 50 fire ants on my feet. Just... eating my foot alive. And I will say that I live in Chicago. We have bees, we have hornets, we have yellow jackets. Nothing is like the sting of a fire ant when the colony gets upset at you, and there's no relief. You have to get your foot in water or submerge it. Stacy, that was back in, when was that? Was that Thanksgiving? I think it was Thanksgiving, right? That I had that issue. I have scars on my feet. They'll never go away. I have permanent scars from these fire ants.
That is crazy.
So they threw the gauntlet down, and we went to Lowe's, and I decided to kill the entire colony. They could not be there. It was me versus them, and one had to leave. It was Thunderdome, Chris versus fire ants.
I can picture it.
So, yeah. Winner. All right, keep on going. Yes, there are fire ants. They're angry.
All right, anybody want to read the next one?
I can read the next one. It's from Stacy Nyman.
Oh, I have another one.
More of hers.
She asks, "What was that mug purchased before or after you acquired the house?"
Because the picture is a mug. Okay, yes, that was purchased. I have a collection of "I am here" mugs from Starbucks. So you put me in a foreign state, I'm going to buy the mug. I don't know why. It just I got a thing about mugs.
And she has a follow up question to that.
Okay.
Was it purchased in a retail store or a resale store?
That was from Starbucks Direct, Stacy. That one was legit.
Wait, there's one more.
Okay.
Do you each have your own mugs that you're only allowed to use, or do you all share?
This is a good question, because Stacy knows I'm kind of weird with my
you
mug.
You could have just stopped with weird.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Stacy knows I'm kind of weird. No, we have a group of mugs that anyone's free to use, though I do use one mug when I'm down there myself, so before anyone else can get their hands on it.
If it makes you feel better, Chris, my buddy's house, I had a mug that nobody was allowed to use. I didn't even keep it in my own home. I kept it in my buddy's house, and it was an EMS week gift from one of the hospitals we used to go to all the time. So
nice. And why was it, Peter? Was it just the outside of the mug, or was it because of...
It was just the outside of the mug.
Gotcha.
It was like, "We love our paramedics," or whatever it said on it. And it was like the name of the hospital and stuff.
We could have a whole show on this, because it deals with the heft of the mug, how it feels on your thumb. It deals with the lip, you know, as far as the... Yeah, absolutely.
I too have weird preferences, yes.
Correct. So... Peter, you got one? You got a good one here? Is it one from Stacy? We can skip maybe those?
Actually, it is one from Stacy.
Oh, gosh. We could skip all the Stacy ones.
No, Stacy. Yeah,
she wanted to know if you ever hang your clothes outside to dry.
Do I ever hang my clothes outside to dry? Yes, we have a towel rack, Stacy. We do. But we have a dryer now, so we're good. So, yes. Yes, we do.
Fancy. Mm-hmm.
And I will tell you that when I saw that picture of the towels drying, I was thinking to myself, it was like 55 to 60 degrees the day that those towels were hanging on that drying rack. And I asked Chris, I said, who went into the pool?
Okay, so let's just get this straight right here. So I live in a very residential community. It is not a tourist. Lakeland is not full of tourism. These are residents of Florida year round. And so in my community where I live, it's a gated community. I have about 80 different townhomes in there. There is one community pool. That pool is unused from November 1st until March 1st because they're all Floridians. We go down there and it's 62 degrees, and we're down there and my shirt's off within like 3 minutes. I'm like a big Polish bear. You know, I'm scratching myself out there. People are looking at me like, what is this guy doing? The kids are down there. We're blue. Heck, we're in Florida, and 65 degrees, that's swim weather for us, so we're good. We're swimming. So,
all right. I needed to get that cleared up, because, yeah, we're bundled up and everything else. So.
Exactly. All right.
And Carly, I did not get the orange attire memo, but they're actually wearing red, so it's just, you know.
Colorblind.
I can go put a red shirt on, but it would be kind of pointless at this point.
Who's got the next question?
Stacy, you up?
Sure, I can go. When you look for a new home, do you prefer the walls to be all painted taupe?
Another question.
Or ecru?
Thank God I got these people to help me here. It's the same color. So,
Joe, what's your preference?
I'm going to say taupe, Joe. Okay, just so you know. Perfect. There we go. So, go ahead, Pete. Right. Michael.
Lisa Yost wants to know how you decided on that location.
Oh.
I think we kind of covered this a little bit.
Okay, this is important though. So this is the part where I probably lose people. You guys know after 5 years I love Disney, but you guys also know that after 5 years I'm not married to Disney. I love Florida. I love Harry Lou Gardens in Orlando. I love Bock Tower Gardens. I love Busch Gardens. I love SeaWorld. I love the Gators. I love the Manatees. I love the Gulf Coast. I love the Atlantic Coast. I love Ron John. So I'm just a big lover. So I've picked a place based on, A, I didn't want to have tourism central all around me. I didn't want to leave my front door and look at the Wizard gift shop You guys all know the wizard gift shop I'm talking about, right?
There's nothing wrong with seeing the wizard gift shop to and from your way to work every day.
Man. I didn't need 10 t-shirts for $20 every day, which is what I was going to see. And I didn't need the Golden Corral every day. I didn't want to fight that traffic. And we looked at a place in a subdivision called Hunter's Creek, which is actually, well, it's by Gatorland.
I've got a store there, too.
Okay, so I looked in that subdivision. It's like
I work that long, not far from Hunter's Creek, too.
Five lines of traffic one way, five lines of traffic the other way. And like when you drive through there, the tension level, even on good days, is like through the roof. So I just didn't want to deal with that. I wanted to be in a community where people took care of their property, because in my mind's eye, I also thought if you had a bunch, and I'm not using the word transients in the right way, but you had a bunch of people staying just temporarily, were they invested in their property? You know what I'm saying? Were they invested in like the upkeep? You know? So, nice, Jamie. No, I wanted it to be amongst other people that actually took care of their property like permanently. So, yeah. That's why I picked there.
All right. This one's from Stacy. She has a real question. Would you share about the cool story you found for fun Disney touches?
Okay, so actually in Epcot, they've seen this. Michael, you touched base on this today. So any thrift store in the Central Florida area is the recipient of goods from Disney, right? I mean, any thrift store gets stuff from the resorts. And the Lakeland Antique Mall gets stuff from the resorts. So if you go to any thrift store, and Mark Anthony showed me this, the Hope thrift store in Dundee, Florida, you can walk right in and get stuff from Saratoga Springs and stuff from the boardwalk. And yes, it's been used in the room before. So I would not be buying the mattresses as my insider tip, people, because that's just dang creepy. That's just creepy right there. But you when you buy stuff that was put in a Disney resort, like the quality of like the cabinetry is really good quality stuff. You can buy the armoires. You can buy like the chairs, the desks. So, Michael, how much did you spend for your stuff that you your desk and chair from the Wilderness Lodge?
Oh, I think it was 45.
Yeah, it was like
maybe 50.
50 bucks.
45, 50 bucks.
Correct.
And I'm recording on it right now, sitting at it. It's awesome.
I got a whole bedroom set of Animal Kingdom Lodge stuff for like under like $200, and it's cabinets and chairs and nightstands. I got a Polynesian lamp from the last one. It was $6 from the Polynesian. So how do you beat a lamp for $6 for the Polynesian, you know? So, but you know what? When you go down there, it's a question you have, Stacy, that you asked me later on. How do you outfit a place like this? So you kind of have to figure out where you're going to pinch. You know, Jeremy Murray's got a great line. He wants the best cheapest, or the cheapest best is what he likes to refer to. So you got like a couple options. I could walk into Harlem Furniture, or down there it's called Rooms to Go, and I could say I need a 3 bedrooms worth of stuff, and they'd be like, yeah, come on over. We got just the spot for you. Or you got to figure out where you can pinch your pennies to get that place. You know, I mean, essentially this, everyone who's listening, remember back when you were first married, where'd you go shopping, you know? You probably ended up at a Salvation Army more than once, you know, and you shop in the clearance sections of Bed Bath & Beyond more than once. You're just doing it again at a different spot in your life. So
yeah, but what a cool way to pinch your pennies. I mean, honestly, if they had that stuff here in Chicago, I'd probably be expecting to pay more than what you would pay at a retail furniture store. Exactly. So, like, I'm trying to think of, like, when we go down there, how can I get to this store? And what can I fit in my van to go home?
If you have the van, you know how you can get to the store.
Yeah, well, I know that, but like, how I want to fit it into my schedule. But like, we also have 6 people traveling, and I mean, you've seen, but how am I going to get home,
Stacy? So here's smaller pieces. Yeah, Peter. So they're genius about this. So here's the deal: the lamp, and like the Lakeland Antique Store. That lamp's $100. Meanwhile, the desk and chair that Michael bought, well, that's $40. And you're like, why? Because anybody could put a lamp in their car, but like, who's going to take the big furniture? So the key is like the big stuff.
Yeah. That is so smart.
That stuff's dirty cheap because they can't move it. But like the small stuff, like, oh, you want that pillow from the beach club? Oh, that pillow was like $27 used. And you're like, what? Well, I could buy a whole desk.
Maybe what I might need to do is purchase what we find, leave it at the Malik's house until marathon weekend when it's just Scott and I. And then we have an empty car to take it home with.
You have other suggestions here. We've got trapping the kids to the
roof. Oh, that's a good one. Thank you, Facebook user.
There you go.
Tamara's got a U-Haul trailer. That's actually, they're not hard to take down here and bring back up.
Mr. Nyman would go for that one.
Stacy, I'll make it easy on you. We'll go shopping one day. You buy what you want. We'll load it back at the green van, and I'll store it down there. And then when I go down there, I'll bring it back for you. And I won't even charge you the freight. Good plan.
And I won't charge you for using it in the house while we're not there.
Nice. So, again, the only warning for that, people, is this. Use your common sense. Like, there's a place called Resale America in Lakeland, and they sell these weird fold-out beds and couches that from the Polynesian. Don't go buying any beds from resorts. That's just creepy and wrong. Don't do that. And if you get something that's upholstery, take it home and Lysol that baby and clean that baby quickly. So, yeah, just use common sense there, people. Remember, this wasn't
a hotel. I will tell you that Resale America and creepy go hand in hand. Trust me.
I love that place, Michael. Are you kidding me? It's like my environment. Creepy. It's my environment. Anyways. All right. Who's got another question?
I don't know if this is a real question or not, but I'm going to ask it anyway. JJP wants to know how old the water heater is in your new place.
That is a real question, and he's making fun of me, JJP.
Yeah, I know, because I know you had to go buy one.
Thank you very much. So here was my concern. When I moved into the place, because I was paranoid about mold, and I realized the only way mold can grow in a home is if there's consistent water leaking, dripping, or otherwise stagnant in a home. So I bought a place full well knowing the water heater was 17 years old. 17 years old. The average lifespan of a water heater is 8 to 10 years old. So I will tell you that I spent many nights from the time I bought this home till I replaced it sleepless, envisioning scenarios of 40 gallons of water just flooding out of my hot water heater, panicked calling someone, calling Michael and saying, I need you to go over there and take a look at it. He's like, nothing would have happened. Panicked because
no water.
Because of this. So I had to replace this. So how old is it? That baby, that 30-gallon low boy, that's 2 months old. She's brand new. So, yeah. But you know what? The money, whatever it cost me for the install, it's completely worth it because I have zero anxiety about that right now. And remember, I've been bitten once with mold. So, yeah, there we go. Brand new.
Jeremy Murray has is a three-part question.
Okay.
So one of the best blue card perks of owning DVC is the access to the gold AP, in his opinion. Does owning real estate in Florida make it so you can get the gold AP still if you want one, or even the super value silver AP?
Gotcha. You boys can answer this as easily as I could about being a Florida resident and about being a DVC member. So you take it over there, would you, with this one? Well,
if you're a resident, you have to show residency. But yes, you're eligible to get a gold or a silver annual pass.
Gotcha. How do you declare?
Keeping in mind that silver annual pass has a lot of blackout dates.
Yeah. How do you get residency? How do you show residency, Pete? Do you know?
I believe we had to show a bill or a piece of mail like from like governmental agency or like a utility bill.
Gotcha.
And we actually had Florida driver's licenses at that point. So, I mean,
yeah,
you know,
Florida driver's license is number one. It's the most powerful thing. If you don't got a Florida driver's license, you can get a Florida ID. And the way you can get a Florida ID is essentially show your utility bill, show your deed or your bill of sale, show some kind of official piece of mail showing that you live in Florida. Though the gentleman from my Disney experience, he was super casual with it. I asked him that same question. I was like, how do I show if I don't have a driver's license? He's like, you know what? Just show us something from the mail that has your address on it. I was like,
right.
Something from the mail that has my... All of a sudden, I'm going to have 387 people at EDCOT paying my utility bill. right now, you know, all with their name. So yeah, he was super casual with it. Of course, when I go there, of course, he's just one person. It may be different from the person at the gate, but
right.
As long as you have some kind of official documentation, if you have your deed, your mortgage statement, your utility bill, your right. property tax something. Bill, something.
Something that is not going to be easily accessible to somebody that doesn't live here.
Gotcha. So that brings up another statement too later on. Someone asked about residency, so we'll talk about that too as well.
And part two was, are there any blue card benefits that you are loath to lose? So is there anything by getting rid of... You haven't gotten rid of all of your DVC at this point, correct?
I sold one. I got one still that I'm keeping, and that one actually is based on vacation in July, and I may, in fact, keep it to pay for annual passes from this point forward if I rent it, but...
Yeah, because that was the other thing you wanted to know is what use here is your second Animal Kingdom contract, because he wants to buy one from
I know.
You.
He direct messaged me today. So. he was wringing his hands. And I said, unfortunately, it's not Animal Kingdom. It's a Saratoga contract. No, I hardly use the perks at all. I mean, as far as DVC stays go, my time that I go down there is when my wife's on vacation. So what kind of DVC perks would I get in Christmas time? There's no, like... It come to the water park at the Christmas time. You know, there's nothing like that.
Yeah, no. I mean, and lately, the DVC discount has been the same as the annual pass discount, so.
There you go. Yeah, no, not really. Those perks can disappear at a heartbeat, too. And
they do.
So.
Clearly, because they took some away the other day, I believe.
When I bought in, and the one that I kept is not a resale. It's the retail contract that I have still. The perks really meant nothing to me. I mean, I'm not converting it to Disney Cruise Lines money. That's a terrible conversion. It really means nothing. If I go to the top of the world, that'd be kind of cool. But at this point, Pete, you can do that. You know, I mean, Scott can do that. B can do that. You know, there's a bunch of people that can go to the top if I really wanted to. So
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm going to skip down a little bit if y'all don't mind, and we're going to come down. To let's see, Chris, is it Futrell?
Yeah, Chris Futrell.
He has several questions. We'll start with the first one.
Yeah, he does. Wow.
Are you splitting time between Illinois and Florida, or is it a full-time move? As a fellow Illinois resident, I absolutely understand the desire to get away. The taxes are getting ludicrous. Mm-hmm. So we'll start with that one.
Before you answer, Chris, I want to say thank you to Michael for pronouncing it Illinois and not saying Illinois, because I've heard I don't know how many people down here pronounce it Illinois, and it makes me want to smack them in the head. So thank you, Michael. I appreciate you saying that properly.
I just always thought it was Illinois.
It is Illinois.
Right. There you go. Chris is right, though. The property taxes in Illinois is crazy. So no, it's just part time.
Taxes in Illinois are crazy.
Yeah, it's just part time right now. So yeah, eventually, hopefully, it becomes a place we use more often. But for right now, no, it's just for investment, and it's for vacation right now, and it's for the use of my friends for vacation too as well. So,
all right. And number two is: do you feel like the shiny will wear off of Walt Disney World by being so close? I can probably answer that one for you.
Yeah, go ahead. Please do.
I'm just, in regards to you, I just don't think it ever will, because you like so many other things around Florida. I just don't think that you're going to, if you ever got tired of Walt Disney World, you'd just shift to something else and then you'd go back. So
correct.
That's what I feel.
I didn't buy down there because I was married to it. You know, that wasn't ever my attraction. It's why, honestly, you're going to look at me like, that's funny. Like, the sales DVC, it was a transaction. It wasn't an emotional transaction. It was just like, okay, I don't need that one. I'd rather have the cash than the contract. So I do have APs, though, at Bach Tower. It's my first AP. I got a Bach Tower Garden AP. So it came through the mail. So
there you
go.
Is there anywhere in Orlando area that doesn't have an HOA?
Okay. Yes. Yes.
There are.
There are very few, though.
You might not want to live in them, but yes.
Exactly. Yeah. Boys, you're exactly right. Chris, so if you're doing this part-time, if you're doing this for an investment or for vacation, the HOA, you know what? Yeah, it's taking care of like your pool maintenance and it's taking care of your lawn, but a lot of times the HOA, it might be for a gated community. the one thing Michael's never heard me say, Peter and Stacy, I've never said to you, man, I wonder if someone's breaking into my house right now. I wonder if someone's causing me any issues. It's a gated community, and the homeowners association pays for the gate and pays for security. And in a lot of places in Central Florida have the gate and have the guard. You're paying for that peace of mind. So, you know, but you have to be careful because, Michael, what was a place that you lived? What was it called? Peter, it's just south of you. Reunion? Not Reunion.
No.
Champions Gate. Gotcha. So there are a lot of 3-bedroom condos at Reunion, and you're like, this is wonderful. They've got like 6 golf courses, 15 restaurants, a water park.
Yeah, you ever try to go past Reunion after the parks have closed for the night?
Yeah.
It's a nightmare.
Well, and the HOA is like,
it's a mile and a half worth of traffic trying to get into one guard building.
Your monthly HOA is about $600 a month, not including your property tax, not including your utilities. You're spending $1,000 a month right there just for that stuff, not even your mortgage. So be careful, you know. So full disclosure, my HOA is about $235 a month, and that includes pool, it includes the lawn maintenance, it includes all the exterior. They just replaced my roof in the spring, a complete roof tear off. What's that worth nowadays? It's about $15,000. So they just replaced the roof, and it includes the gates, and it includes security. So yeah, is it worth it to me? 100%. I've never once been concerned about that.
And so, not all of them. We lived in an area that wasn't gated, did have an HOA, but it was more of a deed restriction as far as what color you could paint your house. Make sure you're keeping your lawn kept up. Make sure that you don't have trash all over the place. That sort of thing. And that HOA there was only about $250 a year.
Mm-hmm.
So not all HOAs are ridiculously high. It just depends on what you have and what they include. But, you know, having that, it's kind of a peace of mind. When I first moved here, I thought, man, this is just a bunch of old people who want to come down here and enforce rules and you can't do anything, you know, kind of like that. There's a Seinfeld episode about that.
Get off my lawn.
Yeah. But in all honesty, I see the difference between Ohio when I lived up there with non-deed restrictions, non-HOAs, and down here when it comes to just the overall landscaping of your community or the way it feels when you drive through. And safety is a huge issue. So it's not always a bad thing.
Yep, agreed. But the answer is yes, you can find it. You just be careful. You know, you realize you don't get any protection. Your protection is your own, and you're hoping to make good friends with your neighbors, you know, quickly if they hear a window broken and they can call the police for you, you know.
It's a little bit different if it's a full-time move.
Mm-hmm. It's true. That's true. Very true.
And a lot of those aren't in communities so much as they are like off of like roads. Like if you just have a house that's off like a main road, but it's not in a neighborhood per se.
Right.
That's also, if you haven't been outside the Disney bubble, like the community, the one that's off the main road, that's a rarity because there is little enclaves everywhere. You know, it's the Wynwood Estates. It's the you know, the Dunning Square. These little like enclaves exist everywhere. You just part of whatever one you buy into.
Yeah.
And let's see, many Florida residents love the staycations on property. Are you not interested in keeping DVC for this reason, or was it all rolled into the finances for the new house?
Yeah, we don't see the need anymore. If I keep it, I'm only keeping it as a moneymaker to rent the points, and I'm going to take the money from there. Or if I need a friend, or if I have a friend that like wants to go and like, hey, do you have 6 points I could borrow? Like, yeah, for sure. We can make that happen. But yeah, no, it's, I don't see the need anymore, at least at this point in my life. So it became easy for me to go and get rid of it. I love Disney. You guys know this, but, just there's no comparison. As much as I love the Disney property, there's no comparison to sleeping in your own bed. And there's no comparison to having 3 bedrooms, you know, even like a 1-bedroom condo, when you're like, staying DVC, you're like, this is nice. There's not a lot of space at all. So you get tired of it pretty quickly. And if you're going to go down there for an extended period of time, I've stayed 5 times since September 23rd. It's really nice to have the space to spread out. Not to mention, okay, I'll drop some stats on you. Last year, in 2019, the average, how do I want to phrase this? property in Lakeland went up 6.3%. In 2020, so far, it looks like it's about 4%. So in terms of a real estate investment, I don't know. It beats 0.0, you know, at that point, you know.
Absolutely.
So any other questions?
All right, so Tyler Lee had a question. Some of these you've already answered, but I'm just going to go and just read through his whole question. Mm-hmm. He said, will you qualify as a Florida resident for area theme parks?
Okay.
How did you decide on the location? Check. Was owning a house closer to the beach a lot more expensive? Okay. Maybe we can talk about that one, and then I'll go on with the rest of his.
First thing is yes. And I should just state a part about residency. You got to stay... You got to be able to declare that you're living on your property for 182 days a year to declare.
Oh, that's good. That's a good
So if I want to get a driver's license, you got to be a Florida resident. A Florida resident says you got to spend 50.001% in our state over your other state, which I'm clearly not. But a Florida ID is accessible for anybody as long as you show the proper documentation. So that was the first question. And that's going to come into play later on in terms of tuition. There's a question about tuition, about Florida residency as well, too. So,
perfect.
Homes,
you just got to send the kids down for a couple of months ahead of time. That way they can establish residency, and then you're good.
A full year. So anyways. Yeah,
that means they can get a job, right?
Right. Right. The home on the water and closer to the beach, yes, it's way more expensive. The closer you get to the water, the more expensive it is if you're looking at a good neighborhood. If you're on the water, oh my God, you can't afford it. You cannot afford a home on the water. Not only the purchase price, but waiting to pay that yearly insurance from State Farm, your homeowner's insurance. Like, I'm in the middle of the state. Actually, where I live is pretty close to one of the highest areas in Florida. Like, Lakeland is where people from the Gulf Coast and the Atlantic Coast, like, descend to when there's hurricanes. They go to the middle of the state, like, the highest area. So my, like... My homeowner's insurance, it's pretty modest. But like when we were looking around, I mean, it varies wildly by several thousand dollars the closer you get to water. So, yeah.
All right. He also wants to know if you are planning on renting your house out while you're not there.
Short-term renters, no. Long-term renters, it's a possibility if I ever decide to do that. I can't actually rent. It's not zoned for short-term renters. We thought about that, Stacey. We were like, let's buy a place and we can make some money. We can go and rent it out. As people sleep in my bed and as people sit in my couch and people use my bathroom that I have no idea, and I've got no property manager and I've got to figure that out and I've got no insurance for that. And that was just too much for me to deal with. I just didn't want to deal with that. You know, I mean, I want to go back down there and I want to relax and know that no one's been in my house other than me and my family. So my friends go down, whatever, you guys are welcome. I got a washer and dryer, throw your stuff in, do the laundry before you leave and we're good to go, you know? But like people, have you ever heard horror stories about like short-term renters? Oh my God. Yes. Oh my God. You know, I'm going to come down there and there's going to be like an axe in my wall or there'll be cockroaches everywhere and food particles. Like I can't deal with that.
No. He also wants to know if this will mainly be a winter getaway due to your work schedule in the warmer months. I think we kind of covered that for the most part, especially with the last question too. Yeah.
Yes.
And then how about plans to retire there?
Okay. So this is probably going to be an interesting question. If this is the right spot for me right now in my life. I don't know where I'll be in 5 years. I don't know where I'll be in 7 years. I don't know where I'll be in 2 years. My retirement may be in Florida, like yours, Stacy. Your retirement may be in Tennessee. Your retirement may be in North Carolina. I don't really know. I'd love to say yes. I don't know. But for right now, this is the right spot for me to be in. So, yeah.
Should we answer Jeremy Murray's question here from Facebook?
Yeah, I think so.
Have you tried to fish the water behind your home? And is it safe to do that randomly in populated areas with the wildlife?
So, no, I haven't fished that area. Jeremy, you probably know I'm not a big fishing person. Not a big.
I think they're called fishermen.
Fishermen.
I'm not a big fishing fish guy. People. So
fish ball.
I have not. It's just a retention pond. I don't suspect there's any fish in there. And I've looked at nighttime. And I don't detect the gator eyes at nighttime. And you can understand how that breaks my heart. So you know I'm hoping to find one. It's not there. I've looked. I've walked it. I've used a flashlight. Maybe some. It's possible, but I've not seen the eyes at nighttime. You know, I'm looking for it. So I keep hoping.
What would you name that gator?
I keep hoping.
If you had your first pet gator, I would like to know. What would you name this gator?
I would name that gator Jeff, because occasionally it might bite me in the butt with the wrong kind of question. So that's why there you go. The gator biting the Jeff.
Good answer. Good answer.
There you go. So give me a good one, guys. What do we got here?
Pam Wolfing wants to know what is one thing besides the theme park that makes the decision worth it to buy a place down here? And what is one thing that makes you happy you still have a home up north?
That's a good question.
That is a good question. So what one thing makes it worth it down there when during the pandemic, going down on a vacation with a dog who was undergoing seizure medication, there was no other place I could have gone on vacation at this point this year. No other. There was only one place that I could have possibly gone and fathomed that vacation, and that was my own place. So if the dog had an accident, I wasn't worried about it. And I didn't have to go to the theme parks. I could enjoy just being in the weather and just doing projects around the house. So, yeah, that's one thing. And about home right now, you know, that's where my family's at right now. It's where my job's at right now. I'm not in a position to be leaving that. Here, spoiler alert. This is a spoiler alert, and Peter and Michael will verify. Florida does not pay well. It does not pay well. The minimum wage in Florida still, people, is still about $8.50, maybe $9 an hour at this point. It's going to creep up to 15 in about the next like 6 years. It's going to go incrementally. Florida pays like one of the lowest paying states around. So if you have a job, let's say you're a teacher or whatever, and you look down there like for like transportability for your job, oh my gosh, like it hits you like a ton of bricks at how much you'll have to take as far as a reduction. Now, there's no income tax. I get that. Cost of living is cheaper. I get that as well, too. But, you know, in terms of what you make in Florida, it's not great. It really isn't great. Michael?
And another thing that I will say is that, and I don't know if Pete will agree with this, but I would say 8 months out of the year, the weather is somewhat horrific to me.
The opposite way horrific.
Yes.
Okay.
It's like for 4 months of the year, I feel like I'm in heaven. Like right now, it's just beautiful.
Oh, it's gorgeous outside today.
And every day I'm like, oh, this is just fantastic. And I'm seeing snow in everybody's news feed. And I'm like, this is great. But then there come these months, which it rains every day at the same time. It is hot, muggy, humid. There always comes a point around the end of summer where we're sick of it. We're done. Mm-hmm. Like we're like, I'm tired of it.
I can imagine.
So, and we wish we had a place up north for those times. So I completely understand snowbirds. Mm-hmm. And that's just my two cents when it comes to living in Florida full time. You have to really like it, and you have to really get used to it.
The grass is always greener, boys. Everyone can say that. You know, when you're up here, Stacy, it's so cold. We're like, this sucks. We want out. We want to be where it's warm. And when you're down there where you're warm, it's like in July, you're like, this is relentless. You know, I'm so tired of this. So I get it. I completely get it. The grass is always greener. Yes.
All right. So Joe Fickus asks a genuine question. Mm-hmm. I know the recent circumstances have made it difficult to get into a pattern. But how have you found reality versus expectation in terms of being the distance away that you are? I know that many people think that if they lived 30 minutes away, they'd be at the parks all the time. But 30 minutes away when on vacation is a lot different than 30 minutes away when living. Mm-hmm. As an example, I live about 30 minutes from central Nashville and have gone into town perhaps once or twice since we moved here. Yeah, same thing. Chicago people are like, correct. Oh, you have everything at your fingertips downtown. Wow. We go to downtown a few times a year. We live actually in the city of Chicago. So I can see that's a good question.
Exactly. Downtown's a mess, Stacy. Like, uh-huh. Peter, you know that too. Get in downtown. Oh my gosh, what a mess.
Downtown Chicago? Yeah, no thanks.
Yeah, what a mess. And driving through downtown Nashville, that's a mess too. That trip all the way through is pretty rough as far as traffic. How do you boys feel about that? Peter, how far are you from the parks?
Let's see. Depending on traffic, if I don't get stuck on anything on I-4, I can literally be in the TTC parking lot, or I was in the Epcot parking lot today, within 20 minutes of leaving my house.
Okay. Michael?
Mine's a bit longer than that, because now we moved a little bit away from I-4. So it takes me a minute to get to the area to be able to get to.
Gotcha.
Disney. But, yeah, everywhere in Florida takes a minute.
A half hour. It's like Chicago. You're at least a half an hour from everything.
Pretty much. Yeah. So, Joe, here's the number one thing. I could have bought a place right off of 192. You can buy a place literally right there. You can buy a place in Windermere if you wanted to, right up on the top side of, you know, Bay Lake Tower. But Windermere, not so much as far as touristy, because frankly they're not zoned for short term rental. They're only zoned for long term rental. But the closer you get, the more tourists you deal with. And I mean, the relaxation factor in that, that's tough, man. That traffic. That shopping, you know, the Publix experience when you are always busy at Publix, you know, that's tough. So, no, I don't mind it. I love being 35 minutes from the Gulf Coast. I love being 35 minutes from Disney Springs, at least for right now. It's in terms of distance, no, I'm not going to buzz over there 5 minutes. But like Peter says, you're a half an hour. If you're 7 miles away, you're a half an hour. You know, if you're 14 miles away, you're half an hour. If you're on the north side of Orlando, you're an hour. You know, if you could be 7 miles on the north side of Orlando, you're a full hour away. That's for sure.
Absolutely.
So. It's hilarious because each day I go to maybe 4 or 5 stores, different like Target stores. Okay. Mm-hmm. And each one, I'll have a store and it'll say 8 miles, 27 minutes. And then my next store, it'll be like 7 miles, 26 minutes. It's like, it never fails. And the other day I went to go home and I took a screenshot that I can share in Epcot, but it said, like, I think it said 12 minutes or 12 miles, 48 minutes. I'm like, are you flipping kidding me?
It went backwards.
So wow. Yeah, it's just one of those things to where I spend a lot of time on the road through Orlando, through Lakeland, and in between, and it just, you just get used to it.
And remember, people, if you're listening and you're like, wait a minute, it's always so close, think of how many times you stayed off property, you know, and you're like, yeah, I realize that I've stayed on property a lot, you know. So yeah, once you get outside the bubble, it's a little different. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Who's got the next one? We got a few more left.
Stacy or me? I don't
I'll take it. Carly wants to know, how did you know what neighborhoods to look into when purchasing your home?
Okay, so right now in Lakeland, there are 11 townhomes and condominiums available that has 3 bedrooms. That's it, 11. So it's pretty easy to go and take a look visually at these properties and assess what fits and what doesn't. And, you know, I look at the great school ratings, but honestly, you know what my number one weapon was? It was Google Earth. Seriously, as dorky as that sounds, I would literally drop down at the street view on Google Earth and I would drive around and look around. And if I felt like it was okay and I saw schools and kids and homes, it's good enough for me.
He'd send Michael in.
I would send Michael in.
It looks good enough to send him in.
Right? Yeah, that's exactly how I do it. It was Google Earth. So.
Who's all right, there? And Tamara has a question. Says, does this qualify your kids for in-state tuition if they want to attend college in Florida? So you can cover this one now. Or
exactly. Go Florida Polytech, you know, or Florida Southern. Go Mocs, you know. They need to be a resident for 12 months prior to the first day of the term. So that gives you in-state tuition. So, as a comparison, I just went to the University of Florida. Now, Gainesville's far. I mean, we're not talking like living in Lakeland and going to Gainesville. No one does that. That's an hour and a half. No one does that. But just for argument's sake, for the educational loan, in-state is about $6,000. Out-of-state is $24,000. Champaign, University of Illinois in Champaign, Stacy. In-state is about $12,000. out of state is about $30,000. So it's like it's about a $20,000 bump for in state and out of state.
But yeah, the Champaign might not be the best indication for. Never mind. I'm in the middle of this.
We got
location in University of Illinois, Champaign Urbana is on my hit list right now. So they anyway.
Exactly. But you got to be down there for a full year and you got to be a resident for a full year. So yeah. So the kids would literally have to, if they wanted in state, mom or dad would have to move down with them because they're not going to be able to handle that on themselves. And Peter, you know what? I've actually had the idea. You know, Florida Polytech is Lakeland's got six universities.
I was going to say,
I'm good at math. Six
very much Chicago public school, right there. Six, there are six of them.
Six universities. But you know what? They're on their own at their own place. They're not really getting that college atmosphere. You know what I mean? They're getting the resident atmosphere, you know? So that might be taking away from what their experience should be down there, you know? So, but
yeah, but maybe they go to UCF.
It's possible. Yeah, it's possible. So, Tamara, it's worth it. That's why you see a lot of people think that. Now, if we're talking the move and you take the decline in pay, right? That, remember what I said about that 50% reduction in pay, but you're getting the $20,000 bump for those 4 years and you're getting the, you know, the no income tax, that scale of justice starts to get a little squeakier, a little closer to being level at that point. So, we had like one more, didn't we, at that point? One more question. Are we done?
Just this one from JJP here. He wants to know if there are any Sheetz convenience stores in Florida because they have the best food. I agree with you, JJP.
We don't have Sheetz here.
No.
I wish they did. I wish they would just run Wawa right out of business, but no.
Yeah, bitter party of one. Have a seat. Anyways. Yeah,
I would say Michael is kind of in the minority in that, though.
I'm going to give you guys the best tip you've ever heard on this show. Okay, and this is, well, okay, this is not the best tip, but Stacy, Michael, Peter, this is all relevant to you. Just before Gainesville, there is an exit called Irvine, IRVINE, / Orange Lake, and there's a Petro gas station right there, PETRO. Have you ever seen it on the road? It has the cleanest bathrooms I've ever seen for a gas station. It is phenomenal. Since you brought those Sheetz up, that one Petro station, it is the bastion that all other truck shops should be held to. And it's on Irvine and Orange Lake. And it's just before Gainesville. So it is.
We always have to stop at Gainesville too. There must be something around that area.
It is the bastion of all that's good as far as truck stops. So I'm just going to throw that out there.
Well, Michael B. is with you. She said she's with you on that one. She prefers Sheetz over Wawa, apparently.
I've not been there. So anyways, this isn't right for everybody. And honestly, I don't know if it's right for us. This was the end statement here, guys. If this was a giant dumpster fire, if this sucked to high heaven and I couldn't sleep at night because the anxiety of like something going wrong or I'm not using it, I just sell it. You know, I would just sell it. So, as it is already, I feel like the property's gone up in value. There is a unit for sale in my complex right now. It's 3 bedrooms, 3 baths. So it's got an extra bathroom. Right now it's listed for almost $40,000 more than I paid. And that's in like a 3-month or 4-month period. I like that. That is really good for me, you know? So I'm okay with all that. Something else to be aware of if you're going to make this transaction. This is the one that probably going to make people nervous. You do not need a real estate attorney to do this transaction. You do not need a lawyer to complete this transaction. All these documents and documentation is done by the title company. And people are like, yeah, but I wouldn't do that without a lawyer. I didn't use a lawyer. I decided not to. But I was comfortable using a real estate contract. You know, in a former life, I was a real estate agent for like 3 or 4 years. And the contract's a boilerplate real estate contract. There's only about 15 lines of information they can actually go and change. And all that wording and all that legal mumbo jumbo is going to stay the same. It's just going to be the list price, the earnest money. You don't need a lawyer to look that over. Now, it's a lot of money. It's a spicy meatball to be hoping. And I will say that did cause me, you know, a stressful night or two thinking, I literally just threw away all this money. I'm going to hand it, and this is going to be a disaster. But I didn't use a lawyer. So if you have any questions, though, on this matter, I'm not an expert. I'm making a ton of mistakes. but I'm learning from every mistake that I made. But if you have any questions, or if you really want to know more about this, then reach out to me. I think actually part of this, actually for me, guys, honestly, it was like the excitement and like the thrill of like the adventure of doing this. And like saying, you know, how many people say I want to do this and then never do that? You know, I'm not wealthy. I don't have a lot of money. But like, okay, I want to try and tackle this. What do I need to do? And how do I figure this out? And that's pretty much what I that was like the driver is like, can I do this? So, but if you have any
questions. I don't know about Michael, but I kind of felt that way when I moved down here too. Like,
yes.
I wanted to be here. And I mean, Missy and I moved down here. We didn't have jobs lined up.
Neither did we. We didn't have
jobs. That was, I mean, we really just made a big leap of faith and just said, you know what? We're going to do it. And that's where we're going to make our lives. And
exactly. Let's just try. You know what?
You can always move back if I have to.
Peter, Michael, Peter, Stacy, we can all say this. You would always have a reason why you shouldn't do it. You know what I'm saying? So actually putting your head down and running through a brick wall and doing it, yeah, it's a different story until you've got to do it, you know? So, but if you ever want to see a guy that's anxious, yeah, look at me sleeping on the couch for about a week straight, like literally vomiting and with cold sweats thinking, what am I doing? What am I doing? What am I doing here? Yeah, okay. We made it happen. We're good. And if you're listening and you have any questions, reach out to me. You know where to find me, Edcat, the Dubs page, Instagram, but reach out to me. And if I can't get you an answer, you know what? I can find someone who will. So easy to communicate with. Guys, thank you. I know we're reading questions today, and I apologize. I hope this was enlightening for people. I hope they learned something, or if maybe it put them in the right spot to ask a question in the future. Who knows? So.
And B said just go to south of the border. I don't know what that is, though.
South of the border. South of the border. I'm not sure.
Yeah, you have to go down 77, right?
Is that another truck stop?
It's huge. It's a huge place down...
Texas? What
is it? South Carolina.
Okay.
Yeah, it's either between North and South Carolina or South Carolina and Georgia. I can't remember which one. I think it's South Carolina and Georgia. But it's one of the exits there, and it has all this stuff going on. It's insane.
Nice.
Next time we go by, I may have to stop and get a video.
By the way, too, you guys will see the Buc-ee's now, too, as well, in Warner Robins, Georgia. Buc-ee's is the Taj Mahal of truck stops right now. I'm just going to throw that out there. So, anyways, for my co-host, Stacy, Peter, Michael, myself, I'd like to thank you for listening today. Have a great day, everybody.
See you, everybody.
Bye, everyone.